Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, and good night, everyone. Hello, it's the Fakeologist here. I'm starting the show. Oh, and Frank decided to wander in. Frank the Salt Guy, hello.
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa. You sent me a link to my own stream in a mystery.
Oh, did that help you?
I don't know why you had to send me a link. Oh, you're making a lot of noise. Mike,
I'm making a lot of noise.
Yes, you are. You were pounding on the desk.
Oh, okay.
Konnichiwa, and Kirby Sexpert Lady is in the stream, but he doesn't have his mic working at this time. And Frank?
And Rick is joining as well, is he?
I don't think so. He normally does not. Did he make an indication that he would?
No, it's just that when you tagged.
Well, I tagged him because I wanted him to take a look at that video, that software, who is a person in Australia sent to us. We're going to talk about the population bomb hoax and how things are going right now. And we'll play a clip from that and maybe discuss that, because I think it's sort of a topic I'm interested in. You're interested in?
Very. Yes. Very interested in.
Kirby Sexpert Lady, hello.
Hello, hello. Yeah, I did get a chance to watch that
awesome
that clip. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the next episode. It apparently had just come out, so there's two or three more coming. I'm curious what else they're going to dive into.
Yeah, that'll be good. Well, he's going to talk about, yeah, Black Swan events, I guess, is what his topic is. Are you familiar with that presenter in Australia, Frank?
No, but I did watch the video.
All right, well, that's good.
So I'm sorry. I should say he's from my childhood, that presenter in the video. The ABC presenter, that's a very old thing. I guess this guy is old.
He does looks like he's
sorry, young. I beg your pardon. I'm talking about the guy that was, you know, took one of the people in there. It's stuff from way back, ABC news reports from way back.
Okay. Well, we're gonna watch this because it's about Paul Ehrlich, his wife, and that were pushing the propaganda that the world's population was growing faster than the food supply and everyone is going to die. And this guy was explaining why that did not happen. And actually the reverse is happening now. And experts suck, and we all know that. So we're going to watch here what some of the techniques by a guy named Kingsley somebody, I can't remember the name right now.
To control the population.
Yeah, how to control the population. So we're going to watch.
Which they did. Everyone's done it.
Yes, it's happening. It's happening now. And I'm going to start the Substack stream right now because I haven't really figured out how to grab the clips off it yet, but I think Substack is posting to my YouTube channel. I haven't looked exactly yet. And they take
it is on YouTube. Well, the clip that I saw was on YouTube.
Well, yeah. So Substack creates clips from this show automatically. That's what I'm told. So I'm going to copy the key here, the stream key, and paste it in here, and then in a second we should be live on Substack, and then it does its magic work where it takes the stream, it takes the transcription, and then it creates YouTube Shorts. I should actually look at that right now, but first we'll play this clip here. And thanks to Emailer Software.
I should say to you that one of the first people whose predictions from 1959 were talked about on this is my wife's grandfather.
Your wife's grandfather. Should we go back?
At the start, the very first guy you hear is some guy called Reverend Frank Borland.
Yeah.
Hold on, let's see.
You know when the ABC rang up and said, would you like to write a letter to the unborn?
That fellow?
I immediately said, why not?
My wife's grandfather.
Wow.
Small world.
It's a small world after all.
I'm going to try anything once.
67 years ago, Reverend Borland was invited to participate in an extraordinary project conducted by the ABC in Adelaide to write letters.
So now we are trying like mad to get hold of the, because he used to do a regular show and we're trying to get the tapes now.
When did he live?
1959 was when he was putting out regular broadcasts on the ABC. And they said they had no recordings of it the first time I asked. But this guy's obviously found them, so we're going to try and get them.
Okay. What kind of a fool thing was this I'd been asked to do? A letter to the unborn? To a nobody, in fact. A non-existent person.
Bit rude. But of course, to the Reverend, I am a nobody. I was born 17 years after his death. But thanks.
When did he die? You know? Frank, are you there? 2212. Frank's dropped off. CSL, are you there?
Yeah. No, they didn't say in the video when he died. That's the first I'd heard of him myself.
Okay. We're going to play.
That's interesting, though.
Frank dropped off. Way to go. Frank, are you there?
I'm receiving, over.
What happened? You died?
I don't know. I got a little thing up in the air about reconnecting.
All right.
Anyway, that's my...
When did he die?
Yeah, good question. He would have died in the mid-70s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Reverend Borland, Australia. And when did he die? I'm just going to take a look on Perplexity Pro. And he died. No, that's not it.
Well, it could be because his father was the
William Borland.
Yeah, so that man was the head of the Presbyterian Church in Victoria.
Okay, that's Graves. Right.
Graves.com says 1972, 28th of March 1972, at age 70, and.
Yeah,
Borodara, right. Victoria, Australia.
This clown here is 1989. He was born. He's a little young. Okay, so we're going to play how they did it, how they managed, or how the system managed to pretty much keep a cap on the population.
More population control because it leaves individuals in charge of population growth. And yet Bernard Salt thinks that educating people and providing them with contraceptive pills worked better than anyone expected.
At the time that Paul Ehrlich published The Population Bomb, the pill, of course, had been invented and had been distributed, but it hadn't really had a significant impact by the late 1960s. 10, 20, 30, 40 years later, of course, it has profoundly changed the future of humanity.
In 1967, just over two decades after his first entirely accurate prediction, Kingsley Davis wrote something that I find extraordinary.
Here we go.
He said that if a government wanted, they could control population by following these steps. Squeeze consumers through taxation and inflation. Make housing very scarce by limiting construction. Force wives and mothers to work outside the home to offset the inadequacy of male wages, yet provide few childcare facilities. Encourage migration to the city by paying low wages in the country and providing few rural jobs. Increase congestion in cities by starving the transit system. Increase personal insecurity by encouraging conditions that produce unemployment. Yeah, let that sink in. Now, he said that he didn't think that governments would do this because it was, like, obviously immoral and evil, but I reckon he was probably onto something there. Seems like a few governments did it by accident. Paper was written the year before the population bomb, and it seems to have had very little impact. In fact, as far as I can see, Kingsley Davis has spent most of the last six decades buried in obscurity. Perhaps if he'd grown some groovy sideburns, things would have been different. In the 1950s and 1960s, when our letter writers and butterfly experts were fretting about catastrophic famines and high birth rates, they were assuming that those things would just keep happening. It's a perfect example of recency bias. We assume that the things that are happening now will keep happening. Trends will not change direction. If things are getting worse, they'll keep getting worse. And if they're getting better, they will keep getting better. They were missing two black swans. One was that wealthy, literate societies stop having so many babies.
Anyway, so there you go. That was the punchline. I wanted to just put that out there and see if you guys want to discuss this. We got a couple listeners that are making chats tonight. Kate Emma, hello. Larry Listen, hello.
I think it's a great topic. One of the things that he didn't talk about was the move in Australia and everywhere, as far as I know, from having a bench seat in the front of your car to a dual bucket seats. So that got rid of one or two people you could carry in your car, and the introduction of, first of all, seatbelt laws, and secondly, child seats. So now it's very difficult to have more than two children for a family.
I think that would be more of a reaction. I don't think they engineered the car seats to...
Well, that's, I'm just telling you what my view is. I think it was done that way, not the other way around.
Oh, okay. I don't think so. Okay, but that's interesting. What do you say, CSL?
Yeah, I know that when we watched this earlier, me and my wife watched it when you shared it on...
Oh, good.
...the Fakeologist Discord. And when that particular... There's some other commentary similar in the earlier part of the video where they talk about, you know, it's sort of just being accidental. You know, these think tank individuals were... demographers, you know, are coming up with ways to solve a problem they see happening in the future. And ultimately, what he said there a minute ago was like, you know, just sort of happened by accident, that some governments did it by accident. But we immediately said, both me and my wife were like, oh, this is clearly no accident. You know,
no.
This is exactly as planned by design, especially with the taxation and so on and so forth that he was talking about.
Well, it's totally engineered, because they really did believe, or maybe they knew it was not true, that the whole world was going to come to an end because of the population bomb. And this influenced so many people, it's not even funny.
And it was just from a whole range of secular end of the world scenarios. Mm-hmm. You know, if you weren't getting it, the end of the world, from your local church, you're getting it from science. Nuclear. That was the same time, you know, we had those films come out, like the one where London gets bombed by an atomic weapon, which way the winds blow or something, or the way the wind blows or something like that. And films about nuclear Armageddon. It's just one thing after another. The latest one being climate.
Here's the guy from the Club of Rome. I put this on FakoTube, 3 years ago. Let's watch this one.
But you guys, one way or another,
let's unmute it first. Unmute and go.
We are so far, globally, we are so far above the population and the consumption levels which can be supported by this planet that I know in one way or another it's going to come back down. So I don't hope to avoid that. I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way, peaceful. Peace doesn't mean that everybody's happy, but it means that conflict isn't solved through violence, through force, but rather in other ways. And so that's what I hope for. That we can, I mean, the planet can support something like a billion people, maybe 2 billion, depending on how much liberty and how much material consumption you want to have. If you want more liberty and more consumption, you have to have fewer people. And conversely, you can have more people. I mean, we could even have 8 or 9 billion, probably, if we have a very strong dictatorship, which is smart. Unfortunately, you never have smart dictatorships. They're always stupid. So, but if you had a smart dictatorship and a low standard of living, you can have it. But we want to have freedom, and we want to have a high sentence. So we're going to have 1 billion people. And we're now at 7, so we have to get back down. I hope that this can be slow, relatively slow, and that it can be done in a way which is relatively equal, so that people share the experience and you don't have a few rich, trying to force everybody else to deal with it. So those are my hopes. I mean, these are pretty pessimistic hopes, but I mean, that's what lies ahead.
There you go. What do you guys think of that?
Well, like, as CSL pointed out already, this was all deliberate. The push to making our paradigm one of consumerism is obviously the real problem. And we have machines are made to break down very quickly. We have to have the whole economic model is based on perpetual growth, money, supply, inflation, et cetera, et cetera. That's what makes our way of life appear apparently unsustainable. Because simply, the resources being consumed are way in excess of what's required for any one person, in my opinion. You don't need a new car every week. You don't. In fact, do we need cars anyway?
I need a new car.
If you think about the number of hours that cars sit unused over the world, I'm guessing it's probably 99% of the time the cars are unused.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very strange way to operate. And yet, without cars, you wouldn't have an economy. If it wasn't for cars and healthcare and making cups of coffee, what would we have?
That's even reference with Kingsley, right? He was saying that starve the mass transit systems on purpose.
Yeah.
Which then would feed into needing individual transit.
Yeah. And of course, during that period was also that when they're talking about that, in our country and probably many others, the push to suburbanization really took place. If you compare that to the English villages, medieval villages, they were compact and small, or, the towns around Italy. People are living in, fairly close quarters. There's arable land around them where they can grow their own food. It's a pretty smart setup compared to what we've got here, which is, people on 800 or 1,000 square meters of land, all separated out to the widest possible range.
Well, I argue that's what people want. That's what I want. I don't want to live on top of someone else, and I do want my Lebensraum.
I guess my view, Tim, is that you have been given that model as the, as the ideal. A bit like women wanting diamonds was the push of diamonds are a girl's best friend.
I've seen both. I've lived in both. I've lived in Stack and Pack. I chose this one. And I'm going to continue staying in this one. I'm not going back to Stack and Pack. I don't like rubbing elbows with everyone and anybody. I like my isolation in many ways. So,
yeah,
I disagree with you. And I think you have a car and a house as well. So I'm not quite sure if you're living the life that you think.
I live exactly the life that you live, okay. As far as I can tell, basically, to the things suburban we're interested life. In.
Yeah.
And so on. The point I'm making is this world was created really post-World War II. This way of life was not around before people had cars everywhere.
Yeah, well,
and now the problem is the cars.
Well, I don't think cars are a problem. See, I'm the opposite. Cars are not a problem. Do you have a car?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you
Several.
Have a car if it's a problem?
How can I live my life with that one?
Go move into the city and go walk to your grocery store. You can do that. You just said it's an ideal way.
So right, go do ride it. The bus, ride the subway.
Yeah.
But if you want to live the way I live in the city, you would have to have the sort of accommodation that's available in the villages of the United Kingdom or Italy, where they were able to house 9 or 10 people in a house. So what's being built in my cities of Melbourne and even Geelong are 1 and 2 bedroom units that are, you can barely swing a cat around them. But in New York, I understand the apartments are quite large.
Well, those are this from the 60s and 70s or 50s even, yeah.
No, a lot of them were built. A lot of them were built pre-war, as I understand it, in New York.
Okay. Well, again, you can live in your Agenda 21 15-minute city if you want, because
what I'm saying to you, Tim, is I don't think what's being built now is the equivalent of what was being done.
Well,
pre-World War II, for example. I understand Berlin also has very spacious apartments, whereas now anything, if you want to go and live in the city now, you cannot get anything.
Well, that's because land is more expensive, materials are more expensive, so you can't just recreate the past, Frank. You have to go with what's available now. So, but you will get your stack and pack city in Geelong, and that's
happening right in front of my eyes. Awful. Yeah.
But you just said it's ideal because you
know I didn't. Are you deliberately not listening to me? What I'm saying is,
sounds like that's what you want. Am I hearing that right? CSL, is that what he's saying?
I think he's trying to articulate something slightly different than what it sounds like he's coming off as.
Well, what I am saying to you is that the housing, etc., of the past, where people in villages, and there were many villages, there wasn't just one big city for a start, was much more spacious than what's being built now in the stack and packs. What's being put together now is designed to keep people basically as single people or as a childless couple.
Okay.
That's even referenced a bit in the Black Swan video. You know, there's a reference to the, you know, World War II boomers and the mass immigration into the cities and rapid building of housing and so forth, similar to what you're speaking to there. Which is what ultimately led Kingsley to, as the quote that was played earlier, started saying, we got to figure out a different way to control the population.
Yeah.
Well, I think they sort of glossed over the pill. I think the pill is the number one thing that limited population. It was just too easy, too convenient. Now they have the morning after pill, which is even more insidious and more dramatic, I believe.
And the biggest effect of the pill was also to change the relationship between men and women so powerfully, so that if a woman wants to have sex with as many men as she likes, the consequences are not going to be so severe. She's not necessarily going to get pregnant. And so it changes the dynamic dramatically.
Yeah, it's beyond just population control or birth control. It even changes the men, women, family dynamic, foundational, or what some believe is the foundation of modern society, which is marriage.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was a pretty good suggestion. Thank you, software, for writing to ima@fakeologist.com. I appreciate that. If anyone wants to call in, you can call in and rattle our cages. We can answer almost any questions. You don't have to stay on this topic. I just enjoy it. And I think the birth rate is falling everywhere. I know Frank keeps saying that it's not necessarily in Australia, but it certainly is here.
Well, in fact, as I point out, the number of births, live births in Victoria, were 80,000 in 2025, and there were 46,000 deaths. So that's and yet they still say that the birth rate in Victoria is low. And so,
What is it then? What is the birth rate in Australia?
I'd have to have a look. But the point remains that, to me, I don't see how the birth rate can be the key factor if it's the number, if the number of people being born is greater than the number of people dying, then the population must be increasing.
The fertility rate is different from the birth rate. The fertility rate is 1.48 births per woman.
And that's supposed to be too low.
Mm-hmm.
But the point I'm making is exactly the one I just made before. If the number of people dying is, well, in this case, substantially less than the number of people being born, then obviously the population can't be decreasing, can it?
The crude birth rate in 2024 was 10.7 births per 1,000, continuing a long-term decline from higher levels a decade ago. Okay. Well, There you go. Both indicators have fallen in the last decade in Australia. Analysts attribute the low and falling fertility to factors such as housing costs, delayed partnering and childbearing, insecure work, and broader economic pressures rather than a sudden cultural shift alone. So that's sort of what we're talking about.
It really confirms that the government have adopted that fellow's suggestion. Mm-hmm. And well, who is the government, I guess, is the question.
The government are the representatives of the people, but really the government are the representatives of the ruling class, the peerage.
The ruling class, yeah.
Yep. And this is what they want. And they worship Earth. And they think that humanity is hurting the Earth that they worship. So it makes sense to defend the Earth and give it a charter.
Have you got that clip where Prince Philip says he wants to return, be reborn as a deadly virus to
time? Well, he never said that. That was in a book, though. Okay, we got a caller in. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Willard from Florida.
Hey, Willard from Florida. How you been?
Hey, Frank. I'm sorry I missed you last week with Mr. E.
I had to bail out earlier. I actually listened to the bit after I left. It got really great afterwards, so it was probably a good thing I skipped out. It was a great show.
You're okay, Frank.
It was a really – I thought what happened the second hour was just fantastic. Very entertaining. Well done to you, Tim. Kudos.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you.
There's something I wanted your opinion on, and maybe a follow-up question is, I don't know, have you heard of the work of James Shelby Downard?
I have heard the name. Could you refresh me?
Well, maybe Ab could. He was this conspiracy theorist, early writer, like 35 years ago is when I first came across him. And he was known for saying that we live in an age of the making manifest of all that's hidden. Kind of like the last time we talked about the hierarchy.
Yeah. That we need you're talking about similar to what Alice Bailey says. Is that right?
Sort of.
This year, she calls it the externalization of the hierarchy.
Right. Downard said that we're going to go through an age of the making manifest of all that's hidden in preparation for the androgynous agenda. And I think in my lifetime, I've seen this manifest. And Ab, if you could put into perplexity, what is James Shelby Downard's concept of the androgynous agenda and see what you pull up and then have Frank comment on that and see if that's not what we're witnessing in the media with these psyops.
Oh, I thought Mr. E's, the conversation between Tim and Mr. E yesterday or the day before completely confirms that view.
Right. Yeah, that's why I wanted to.
Okay, what is the question you want me to ask, Perplexity? What is James Shelby Downer's
concept of
androgyny?
This agenda.
Of what agenda? Androgynous. Okay. Okay, let's ask. James Shelby Downer does not use the exact phrase androgynous agenda, but in his work, he describes what can be summarized as an occult or Masonic drive to blur or dissolve traditional sex distinctions as part of a wider program of social control. His best-known essay, King Kill 33 Degrees, which treats the Kennedy assassination as a Masonic ritual. Okay, we know that. In his essays dealing with ritual sex magic and secret societies, Downer talks about cross-dressing, bisexual practices, and crossroad rites, treating the deliberate mixing or inversion of male and female roles as part of sorcerous social engineering. Within his broader framework, this erosion of clear male-female boundaries is portrayed as intentional, an elite ritualized effort to desacralize sexuality and family life, weaken traditional identities, and make the public more manipulable. What many later readers summarize as an androgynous agenda. And this is on that site called Whale. Ever seen that site, Whale? Whale is whale.to, I think. This is a pretty good site. I've linked to it. I've seen it in the past. Have you guys seen whale.to?
I've seen it, but I it's not one of my often references.
Yeah, it's over here. I'll look at it here. Whale.to, Kingkill 33, James Shelby Downard. And yeah, I don't believe that, of course, Kennedy was killed. I think he was just removed in a very Masonic tradition or ritual as well, but I think it was all stagecraft. And I'll put that in the show notes of tonight's show.
But to your point, Willard, I don't have any dispute with what he claims at all. I think it's very clear that that's what's happened. The job is already done.
Yes, I agree. I think it's remarkable that we've seen it in our lifetime.
Yeah.
And he would argue that, you know, this conspiracy culture, we're feeling the process by making manifest what's hidden. In other words, we reveal these machinations that they pull. Yeah. And that when we dissect these psychological operations, we point out all the symbolic elements that are present, that are put there in order to manipulate our subconscious mind, our dreaming mind, he calls it, in order to alchemically transform us into, you know, what they want us to be.
So is his view that our analysis actually makes the problem worse, or that it reduces the problem? In other words, do we manifest it by analyzing it, or is our analysis useful?
Well, it's he says that, you know, the consequences fall upon the perpetrators, but for us, and he mentioned it's called truth of consequences, where you're presented with the truth and you have to make a decision what it is you're going to do with it. Now, sometimes we'll point out how obvious some of these psyops are, but it works on a deeper spiritual level, which is, you know, there's these spiritual forces at work. And are you going to decide, you know, to admit, you know, the reality of God and of the other side?
Yeah. You
know, that's what that plays. If you follow?
And you know, for in my case, I guess I've come to that conclusion that I think God is a reality because of the things that I've experienced in the, at that level. So
yes.
Yeah.
Either
for good, or, you know, I don't know if I've done the right thing by accepting these ideas, but as far as I can tell, having accepted you know, the idea, or using the model that God exists and praying and so on, I found very helpful to me in dealing with what's going on.
Yes, that goes to my second question. A while back, y'all were talking about the media, and you said that in the media, they'll present things that are put there in order for you to violate the Ten Commandments.
Yes, for example, you know, the purpose of the original beginning of this site was about the Twin Towers coming down, 9/11. My view of that whole thing was that the main effect was to get men and women to go and do illegal things in other countries with their guns and their bombs. Now, the commandments are thou shalt not kill. So any soldier that goes on an unjustified war, which in my opinion, everything following 9/11 was totally unjustified, then they are clearly breaking the Ten Commandments.
Yes, and you know, there's also, when y'all discussed thou shalt not bear false witness.
Yes.
You know, I think as you had mentioned that, but that's another spiritual principle at play where you...
Exactly.
You know, you have to call it out. You know, you're being presented to make a choice. Are you going to love the truth?
Yeah. And people were presented with that same thing again with the jabs, weren't they, in my opinion?
Yes, I agree. I agree. Yeah, you're confronted with it. Truth or consequences.
Yeah. And so fantastic thing to point out. Yeah, we when we analyze these things, we give ourselves a very severe moral burden, and it's no wonder that a lot of people don't bother doing it, don't want to pursue it.
Yes, I mean, my response is God's in charge of my body, and He's going to give me a new body. So that's my answer to the jab.
Yeah.
And now,
sorry, before you go on, I just want one quote. Jesus says, biblically, don't worry about what goes into the mouth. Worry about what comes out of it.
Now, on a more important note, Willard,
I'm going to dispute it could be more important than that.
Is it going to snow in Florida tonight or tomorrow?
Up in the panhandle, they're saying it will.
But not where you are? You're okay?
Yeah, because you're right, because you say you have to be down by Fort Myers. If you ever come down here for vacation, make sure your Fort Myers is south.
That's right. Naples all the way. It's still cold down there, but it doesn't usually snow.
I think Naples is the best place in the United States to move to live in Florida. Retire and come on down. You bring the whole family.
I'm with you. I'm with you. East Naples. That's where I used to hang out. So,
Oh, it's beautiful.
Well, it was just in a trailer park, but it was.
Hey.
cheap lodging. That's what I'm after. Just want to sit out in the carport and do my thing. Stretch my legs, ride my bike, ride around the neighborhood. Yeah. Whoever thought 30 years ago, I think I would be thinking about that. All right, Willard, we're going to watch Prince Philip quotes you won't hear the media discussing. I put this on FakoTube a year ago. You want to listen to this?
Yeah, I'd like to.
Let's go through some of Prince Philip's.
All right.
I mean, they're called gaffes on the media. Some might call them bigoted or at least grossly insensitive. You can decide how you'd like to describe them, but we're going to hear them a lot over the next 24 hours, referred to
this
as colorful.
Minutes.
But we're probably not going to get them plastered across the television very often. So because we're an alternative media platform, let's give you the alternative rundown of things Prince Philip has said. Remember, if he has a job in terms of public service, it's to be a bit of a diplomat. So if he's undiplomatic, that's, it's a bit of a problem with the public service. Anyway, I'll take you through them. This was during the 1981 recession. Lots of people unemployed. Prince Philip says, everybody was saying we must have more leisure. Now they're complaining they're unemployed. He was such a moral leader for our country. In 1984, after accepting a small gift from a local woman in Kenya, he said, you are a woman, aren't you? The stuff where he's speaking to people in the former British Empire is, to me, the grossest. 1988, we are now. He was speaking to a German news agency, and he said, in the event that I am reincarnated, I would like to return as a deadly virus to contribute something to solving overpopulation. That's worth noting. You can be reincarnated as anything.
Yeah, so that was what you were looking for, right, Frank?
Correct, yeah.
All right.
Specifically to solve overpopulation.
Which, yeah. So that ties in.
As we talked about, it's not a problem to solve.
HLGGLH says, if you want a song to play us out later, I sent you an email. Thanks for the broadcast signals. Okay. What did you send me? Song to play us out. Okay. Thank you very much. Oh, I did a collab I did with Salty Siren from IPS Raft. Okay. I like that. Yeah, we play cuss words, so thank you so much. Salty Siren. I love Salty Siren. We had her on the show once. Do you remember that, boys?
Yeah, she's disappeared?
Well, she has other things to do.
What?
I don't know. So this is, I'll play it out in a minute.
She's got a life outside of being
I know. Actor. We're not going to, we're not going out yet, but this is HLGGLH's website here. And I'll subscribe to that. And we'll play this at the end. It's a rant on boomers. Oh, no. Frank, what are we going to do?
Well, everyone's heard my boomer views.
And here's Salty Siren. She has a web channel here. Okay. So there we go. That's her channel here, Salty Siren. I think it's the same one that we're talking about from the raft. She did COVID cooties, which is a great one. I don't, maybe she took it down off her site.
Did she?
I don't see it here. Well, maybe it's here earlier on because it's been 5 years since COVID. But yeah, maybe we'll check that out. Okay, thank you. We'll play that untested, I guess. What do you say, Willard? You got anything else?
No, that was. I just hope you get Mr. E on again.
Oh, I'll always try and get him on. He's the best.
Yeah, yeah. His work really, as Frank said, you know, it validates or confirms this thing with Downer. And, you know, when I first started listening to you, you used to mention how, like, they had these writers like Stephen King and that would write these psyops.
I think so.
Yeah, it was funny because when you mention these ideas, it causes me to reanalyze things I've experienced. And the books of the Cold War, you know, Edward Lansdale, who was the CIA guy in the Philippines, his background was in advertising, you know, not the military or espionage. And David Attlee Phillips, who was the CIA head for the Western Hemisphere, his background was in playwriting and acting. And if you go into the OSS, it's the same thing with its advertising. So it's more about, like what you said, to get these writers to come up with these ideas, you know, that with these strong stories. Remember SMJ used to say how they use stories on us?
And, yeah, I mean, it's the same can be said with H.G. Wells and Arthur C. Clarke.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah.
All of the space program, everything that we have about planets and space really was created in science fiction first.
Yeah, fiction writers, exactly. Yeah, yeah, touche.
Yeah.
That's all I have. I enjoy listening to y'all. Thanks for taking my call.
And the other, Willard, before you go, the other guy that I think is worth knowing is that guy Roald Dahl, supposedly a Norwegian children's writer, of course. He worked for MI5.
Right, Roald Dahl.
Well, where they give him a legend, he comes over here, you know, as a writer, children's stories than that. Yeah, look at his life. There was a book I read about him that really gets into it.
Basically, he's just a super spy.
Yeah, perfect example. Also,
hey guys, here's a quick video.
We're gonna watch Mr. E in a minute, but go ahead.
William Stevenson, and I think it's his book, Man Called Intrepid or something like that, about the OSS. He worked with this Ogilvy guy in England, and that was all advertisers. You know, these. So they come from the creative arts, you know, not the military, less than that kind of stuff, but it's the creative arts. Yeah. Okay, that's all.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Willard. It was great.
So I just did a 2-hour podcast this morning, and I kind of lost my voice, but here's an excerpt from the podcast you can find on fakeologist.com, and there's a surprise bonus at the end of this video that I thought was pretty interesting. All right.
I love it.
Thanks.
Mr. E, do you have family in Minnesota still?
I just got an email from my mom.
Okay.
She's there. She's 81. I'll read you one sentence. Schools are closed. Everyone is just waiting for the violent protests to start and the city to be burned down.
Whoa.
And it's funny, just a couple of months ago, I was talking to her. I said, you know, so have the ICE agents arrived yet? And I think at that time they didn't really come yet. And I said, well, they'll be there soon. And you're going to have another George Floyd type of thing, you know? And of course she thinks I'm crazy. Basically it's pretty predictable. Remember like the ICE, like in LA, it started in Los Angeles and that whole thing was just kind of like a staged.
Is this real or stagecraft?
Well, for me, I think it's a psyop because I don't think an actual agent would have shot and killed a woman driving in that situation. You would imagine they have some kind of training and some criteria as to when they're kind of allowed to shoot and kill someone or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, to a certain extent, he may have been justified. And they're going to spin it that way, and they are spinning it that way. But he was basically on the side of the car by the time he actually shot in there. So that one reason I think is a psyop is because I don't think he would have decided to shoot the lady in that situation. He was basically out of the way. The last couple of shots were into the side window, so he was already out of harm's way, and he kept shooting her. He's going to risk his own career by shooting this lady, a white lesbian. After getting shot in the face and in the head and being dead, this car actually steered to the right. And then it's the reaction to it is like so scripted and planned. And so obvious, you know, like the Fox News and the right is basically given, you know, she's a domestic terrorist, blah, blah, blah. And then the left is, you know, ISIS, domestic, like the whole thing is just the response to it is not organic or normal or natural. No one's giving objective reporting on it. It's all extremely divisive journalism coming out designed to cause chaos. And the word chaos has been used like dozens of times by everybody involved. Like, listen for the word chaos. When the word chaos is used in the mass media by everyone, journalists, government officials, whoever, then you know, like, this is orchestrated chaos, I think. Because you saw the word chaos a lot with George Floyd. And this took place a mile away from the George Floyd event, four blocks. You can look on the map. It's pretty interesting. It's, like, right there in the same neighborhood as George Floyd.
Wow.
What they are doing is causing chaos and distrust.
Total chaos.
They're sowing chaos on our streets.
Total chaos.
Look, we all know that the agenda of this Trump administration is to create chaos.
Total chaos.
Purposeful chaos emanating.
We saw chaos already beginning between law enforcement and rioters.
You know what? Maybe it's time for Jesse. I only did one term.
Oh, I'm only second.
Now you've injected me back in here and probably going to make me the governor of Minnesota again.
And what? You seem fired because, up and motivated.
Because somebody, somebody needs to clean up what the Democrats and Republicans constantly wreck. And you notice I lumped them together.
All right. I think we got some extra music coming on here. I'll put that on FakoTube. That's a great clip. Thank you, Mystery.
Down by the St. Lawrence, where the cold winds play, lived John the beggar with a mind that sways. He connects the dots in a curious maze. Oh, John, the beggar of the bay. Reading the script while the world's on display. With fakeologists, they light up the grave.
That's really good.
Wow.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, guys? You know, they talk about chaos, and it reminds me of a Canadian, an actor named Don Adams. In a show called Get Smart, he constantly fought the evil agency, which was chaos.
Yeah, K-A-O-S. Yeah.
Yes, A-O-S, chaos. And that was like that. I'm oftentimes wondering, are they doing this to you know, for the
And boomers? Who did he work for?
Control.
Control.
Yeah, control.
Control.
Yeah.
Definitely, definitely. So you wonder how much programming they were doing ahead of time to us.
Absolutely.
Way, way ahead of time. But I was curious about our friend the Salt Man here. Victoria, is that where the capital is of Australia?
No, the capital has been placed Well, they've duplicated what's happened in the USA. They've created a separate state called the Australian Capital Territory.
Okay.
Which is a bit like Washington, D.C. And they placed the capital called Canberra inside that territory.
Okay. Now, Victoria, is that up in the north or the south or where?
Victoria is the southernmost state on the mainland.
Okay. And are they closing or opening more kindergartens there?
They are good question. There's always a struggle for kindergartens. For example, my grandchildren, there's always a struggle to get them a place every year. And you've got to be very, you've really got to put in a lot of effort to get a spot. And you have to pay serious money.
Okay. Now, is there a lot of immigration coming in there?
A huge amount of immigration.
Okay, that could be offsetting the natural decline of the population rate.
Well, what I was saying before, John, is that in Victoria and in Australia in general, there are in Victoria, as I said, there were 80,000 live births in 2025 and about 46,500 deaths. And that's been happening for some time. So there is a natural population growth in Australia without any immigration.
Oh, even without the immigration, there is.
Yeah.
What is your birth rate there in Australia?
Well, that's what we were just talking about. The problem I have with all these ideas about birth rates is it doesn't really help you work out if the population is going up or down. In my opinion, the only way to work out if the population is increasing or decreasing is to compare the number of people that die with the number of people that are born.
Okay. And logic, your reasoning on that. But you say kindergartens and other things, elementary schools are still being built, new ones, or they're not being closed?
So what did happen is that there was, say, 20 years ago when my children were born, there was a whole bunch of schools shut down and consolidated. And now there is a problem with the schools are getting overcrowded. Yep.
Okay. But you say there's a natural increase from the native born going on right now.
The number of children born in Victoria, as I said, was 80,000 compared to 46,000 there. So that's a considerable increase. A considerable gap between births and deaths. Unlike in Japan, where the population is falling.
Yes, and they do not count immigrants. They do have some people working there, guest workers, though. A sizable number, I'm told.
Yeah.
Hey, John, I used Perplexity to generate an image of you sitting on the St. Lawrence Seaway. So I'm going to post that in the Ecologist blog notes. You can have a gander at that. So if you agree with that, then we can use it. I have a picture of a freighter and, of course, the world-famous Gordie Howe Bridge in the background.
And a beggar sitting on the shore.
Well, you're not begging. If you want to make you beg, I can do that, too. I'll put that
in. You might as well.
All right. Well, thanks, John. You got to fix your phone line, though, because it sounds like a machine gun.
It's still not coming in good.
No, you better call the phone company. Call Ma Bell, Detroit Bell, Edison, whatever it is.
AT&T.
All right. Thank you, John.
Okay.
Good night. Hey, Willard, anything else before we wrap it up? Willard's still there. Willard's hanging on.
I enjoy listening to you guys. One thing Downer there's this phrase, the grand occult conspiracy to turn humanity into cybernetic mystery zombies.
Okay.
And when I see in two generations since the advent of the internet and the computers where people's daily lives are guided by cybernetics, they're guided by a central source. Now, in Downer's time, it was a mechanical device they experimented with that he worked with. But here we have a wireless device that, to me, kind of fulfills what he said, cybernetic mystery zombies. People are stuck in the ever-present now, and their daily lives are guided by cybernetics. What do y'all think of that?
I agree.
Certainly the algorithm.
Yeah, the algorithms. But that's all for me, folks. So.
Thank you. Stay warm down there. Put on your woolies.
Yeah, I will. All right. Take care, y'all.
All right. If you want a theme song, we got to go to Portal Complex for that.
So one comment I do want to make is that a few weeks ago, Curvy Sexy Lady asked me what I would invest $100,000 in.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
And I've turned that. The investment I made at that time has turned into $400,000 since, I think.
What, the silver?
Did you buy silver?
Well, no, I do. I'm just saying Curvy Sexy Lady asked me what I would do with $100,000.
Oh, yeah. What did you say you'd do?
Buy silver.
Yeah, that's what I recall.
And,
you said
and then you said, oh, what would you do? Just hang on to it in your house or something. I can't remember what you said. But the net effect is that the silver and precious metals markets are really have gone extreme in recent weeks, and it is going to be the next big impact on the way money moves around, because what's happening is that people are selling US bonds, and these are big investment companies, superannuation, et cetera.
Just look at that. When did he ask that question?
I would have said 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was like early December.
December 8th? Well, wait, it's January 15th. So you think a month ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, I think it was that show.
Okay. Well, here you go. So silver was at 55 and now it is at 83. Well, that's pretty good.
No, it's actually, it's selling in
No, sorry, in China. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the Silver Investment Trust. That's what I invest in.
Okay.
Silver Investment Trust. This is not the spot market.
So the other thing that's going to happen.
But it tracks silver. What is
the next thing that's going to happen is there'll be a disconnect between the paper silver market and the physical silver market. This is not investment advice.
I think silver is at $90.
Yeah. But the price it's selling for.
Silver micro. Okay, this is the mercantile exchange. This is the micro silver futures, $90. I don't trade futures, but one day I will because I hear they have much better buying power. But anyway, yeah, silver is at $90.
Yeah, so there is as I said, that paper market for silver is not the same as the physical.
So it's up 30%.
Anyway, that's
50%. Sorry.
Yeah, I certainly am not recommending any particular buying strategy. But if you are going to buy silver,
I don't know why all these people that think silver means nothing if you can't use it. You can't use Exxon stock either to buy groceries. It's an instrument of an investment that you can convert to whatever you need to buy the groceries later. Whether it be a stable coin, whether it be a Bitcoin, whether it be Uncle Sam's fiat, whether it be an Italian lira, I guess they don't have those anymore, a euro, whatever. I mean, these arguments are stupid. Say, well, you can't use it. Of course you can use silver. I could pay Frank in silver right now. If Frank sent silver, I'd use it.
Yeah,
I probably wouldn't keep it, but I would use it. And somebody I actually opened up the P.O. box a few years ago because somebody wanted to send me Australian dollars. Now, I can't use them in Canada. No one will take them.
Oh, is that right?
No. No one will take any other currency in Canada except the world currency, which is the U.S.
So you can't take Australian dollars to a Canadian bank and
No. I can't take it to an average merchant. Of course I can go to a bank and exchange it.
Yeah, and get ripped off
on the exchange. But that was my point. When someone says you can't use silver, of course you can't use silver at the grocery store, but you can convert it to something useful to buy the groceries. It doesn't take that long. So stop with these stupid arguments. And dividend stocks, that's fine too. Yeah, there's all kinds of different things. And
now apparently the companies that mine silver, their share prices are currently still only reflecting silver at $30 US production.
So well, I have no idea what that, I don't know. In Toronto, our exchange was the best performing exchange of any exchange, I believe, for the year 2025, because a lot of it's composed of gold producers, not just. So there are very few dedicated silver
producers. Silver is really a byproduct of the production of copper, lead, and zinc. Mm-hmm.
Well, copper's gone ballistic too.
Copper's gone ballistic as well. Yeah. So anyway, but I think the copper producers, their share prices have gone up.
This is for people
to check out for themselves. But apparently, the prices of pure silver miners are
your copper miners right there.
Yeah. So have a look at silver producers.
Well, here's the copper producers.
So they've gone up. So see that share price going up, as you're pointing out?
Yeah, it's 83.
The same apparently is not true for silver.
Okay. Well, is there any silver, pure silver producer?
Very few. It's usually
a byproduct of gold as well. The gold producers might have the silver built into them.
Yeah, but there are some.
Silver is used for everything. Yeah, it is. So
do you think it's still going to go up, Frank?
Well, so what do I think? Yeah, I think it's what's been happening is that the amount of silver that was traded was 100 times the actual sales of silver for a long, long time. And that kept the price down quite low. But it looks like the demand for silver has now increased to the point where supply now falls short of actual demand from both, you know, the people that actually use it in industry and also investors. Mm-hmm. So it looks like that demand is going to exceed the supply by quite a bit, and that will obviously cause a step change in the price.
Yeah, but if you want something that went ballistic, all the and this is what I do all day these days. It may be too late, of course. This is not investment advice, but the solids, all the memory makers have gone ballistic in the last few months, including Western Digital, Seagate, Micron, SanDisk. They've all 10x'd in the last, so they've done much better than gold and silver. So.
Mm-hmm.
Memory,
Micron has gotten out of
and
the business.
Oil is
itself.
Make, you know, wherever Tiago is, oil is making a move at the moment as well.
I think oil is going nowhere. Oil, I think the world's in a recession, and they're not burning oil at the same rate. So I'm not sure about that. I wouldn't touch oil with a 10-foot barge pole. But you know, we have fun here talking about these things. I hope
people
don't mind too much. I like it. All right, that's about an hour, guys. That was pretty good. Good show, I think.
I enjoyed it a lot, as usual. Thank you. I thank you for the opportunity, Tim. It's great.
Well, you're always welcome, Frank, and you're always grateful. I really appreciate your appreciation. And don't forget, this is the end of the Fakeologist week, which means on the weekend is when we do our Discord. Discord is anyone can come on and talk. Oil's going to explode. Well, I don't think so. You need an economy that's booming for it to explode, but maybe there is one that I don't know about. But things where I live are going down. Oh, whatever. I don't know what's happening in the U.S. necessarily or Australia, but...
Well, I think a lot of the...
It is combustible, right? Don't forget.
I think a lot of the stuff about oil and so on is because of the power requirements for artificial intelligence. And one of the other thing that's occurring is that what formerly were hugely profitable companies like Microsoft and Amazon, etc., they are spending so much money on these
data centers
that they are borrowing just huge sums of money. And there's no return. There's no business model for this particular investment that anyone can point to. So far,
yeah, it's a solution for a problem.
It's a solution, I guess so. And the problem is that these companies that really make up the bulk of the value of stocks in the USA now, these very large companies.
Yes, that's true.
With the massive debt that they have, if they're not able to
convert it to income, it could be a problem. Well, it could be another bubble. It could be good investing. Nobody knows. Nobody knows where things are going. If they did, well,
it's all chaos, isn't it, Tim?
Yeah, really. Well, anything you want? Any closing remarks from you, CSL? You're kind of quiet tonight, but you're always respectful and pensive, I would say.
Well, thanks for having me on as well. I appreciate being here.
All right. And anytime you guys have a topic, if you want to bring it, we can go your way as well. You don't really have to pre-clear it in any way. So if you want to bring one up.
One thing that we touched on that we should come back to is what is the real population? We've talked about it before, but I think it has become topical again. Because
I noticed in that video there were quite a few magic numbers, 33. Yeah. They said 3,300 million.
I didn't notice that, but that's great.
And then it went to 4,300 million, as they said. That's how they said billion in that video in the Australian.
Yeah, it was an older video of one with the 50s, right? Yeah,
I guess they didn't like to say
thousands of millions instead of billions.
Back then, a billion was a million million for us.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. When I was a child... a billion was a million million.
Is it? But is that a trillion?
It is now, but a trillion was a million million million.
Oh no, you guys really screwed it up. And a Google is one plus a million zeros, isn't it?
A Googleplex? I don't know.
A Google. Google.
It was a Google. Okay. And they have different numerology, number systems in India as well. I understand.
Which is, and apparently the size of all the derivatives just on various commodities is four times the size of the money supply. So the...
I'm not sure what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it goes wrong, it just means that who knows? It's chaos, I think, Tim, is the word of the day, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that was a mystery video of the day. I'm going to watch his other videos. He has one over here that we have to watch later.
He did a great flat earth map one. I think that was his best.
Oh, right. Flannel shirts, maps and stuff?
Yeah. I wear those flannel shirts. I get them from Aldi.
Okay. And he does Daniel 9 for you, Frank. You like his religious stuff.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, no,
he's so good. He's such a good content creator.
I agree. And I must say his voice is very like yours, CSL. Are you from that part of the world?
Minnesota.
And great, no, a great pronunciation, I must say, too, Jim.
Thanks, Frank. Are you from Minnesota, CSL?
No, I'm from Florida.
You're actually from Florida. Well,
yeah, born and raised.
Almost nobody's from Florida, are they?
Most of the people, that I know and work with are transplants.
Yeah, nobody's from Florida, but you are.
Family and friends.
You're the only one I know that's from Florida.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a state of transplants and immigrants.
Yeah.
It's chaos.
Let me know when the real estate market's going to calm down. Or stop going down.
Yeah, no, it's not happening anytime soon.
No, I know. I think I want to swoop in. It'll be just in time for retirement, I think. Just want to buy a trailer and for very low costs. But that's another song. Okay, let's play this video and see what it's all about. King Tut, Ninth Circuit featuring Salty Siren. It's a rant on boomers. We're very sorry, Frank. And I'll put a link to this in the show notes, and hopefully this will be good.
Well, I'm I sure guess there's no good. Smoke without fire, is there?
Jesus fucking Christ. What is going on here, y'all?
Thanks, everybody.
What is going on? This is some bullshit.
Thank you.
Some bullshit.
Bullshit.
Who the fuck goddamn decided they're going to be the water monopoly, the fucking food monopoly, the fucking...
I hate swearing.
...breatharian monopoly. Goddamn... Bullshit. Like, these motherfuckers. They got some goddamn nerve. And everybody's just out here paying their water bills and paying their energy bills and paying their little fucking bills. Like, oh, yeah, this is fine. This is fine. Fine. What the fuck is wrong with y'all? I'm pissed off. I was born into this world. With y'all stupid motherfuckers decided you were just gonna start paying everybody for every fucking thing and being scared of every fucking thing. Scared of every fucking thing. A bunch of pussies. Man the fuck up. Man the fuck up. Man, fuck up. I don't care if you're man, woman, what the fuck ever. What the fuck ever. Human the fuck up. How about that? Human the fuck up. I mean, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. What kind of legacy are you leaving for your younger generation? What the fuck is wrong with y'all boomers? Boomers. And any older generation... Like, I'm pissed at y'all. I'm fucking pissed at y'all. There, I said it. Pissed at y'all. I'm pissed at y'all. I fucking said it. Pissed at y'all. Y'all are a bunch of idiots.
Idiots.
A bunch of fucking assholes. That left a bullshit legacy to us, younger ones. Man, fuck you for that.